I'm Donna, and I'm here with Pastor Josh, and today we're talking about how recognized behavior gets repeated. Now, this is a concept that you brought to Peace. Tell us a little bit about it, Pastor.
I mean, I think it's pretty simple, right? Recognized behavior gets repeated, right? It's kind of one of those phrases that says all you need to know, and it's kind of become a part of our staff culture, and I'm not going to take any of the credit for it. It came from my father-in-law. And we'll talk about this later too, probably, but it's not a natural thing to me. So I'm not naturally good at like thanking people. But what my father-in-law said is, hey, you need to be writing thank you notes every week, literally. And he's kind of old school. He'd say literally handwritten thank you notes. And I don't always write them handwritten. I'll text them too. But it's this idea of thanking people when you see them doing something good.
Okay, now, right off the get-go, I got to tell you, I have terrible handwriting. So I'm very self-conscious of that. So I'm not a writer of notes, but I am one to shoot a text, or a lot more times maybe verbally.
Okay.
Are those okay ways to do it also?
Yes. I think when we look at thanking people, the value is thanking people. I would just say what I've come to realize is there is value, though, in sitting down and writing it.
Right.
And the value of it is that I think sometimes when we thank someone, like in public, or you run into somebody after church and you notice something and you just say, hey, I want to really appreciate you for doing this, sometimes it can be just a little bit of, oh, we came into contact. You felt like you needed to do that. That's great to hear. But whereas when it's a thank you note, you have to go out of your way to do that. It can't just be something you do spur of the moment. And so I think there is value in that old school approach of do actually write a thank you note every once in a while.
Yeah, now I'm a recipient of one of your notes. Every year you and Sarah give wine as Christmas gift to the
staff.
Don't
judge us.
Yeah, don't judge us.
We are Lutheran.
Yes. But you guys give that together, and mm-hmm. you write the note for it mm-hmm. to each one of us. And I keep those. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very meaningful and impactful for me. So as somebody who receives it, you're absolutely right. The old school approach it means a lot.
Yeah, and it's something that is so foreign in our world. And I would say even, right, if you are a bad writer, I got one a while back that was, it was put in a card, but it was typed out, right? It wasn't handwritten. And so, like, I think that still, just because it wasn't handwritten, it didn't have any less value to me. But there is something valuable about, yes, thanking people, thanking them in public, thanking them in person. But there's sometimes something valuable about taking the time to put it in a note, to put in an envelope and give it to them or mail it.
Yeah, I have somebody that'll stop by my office and leave a sticky note on my computer of a thank you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be this big elaborate
thing.
It's just helping people to feel seen and valued, right?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, and maybe we can think about this in terms of like our kids. Like, I think there's, you know, two different ways to kind of work on your kids' behavior. One is you tell them what's wrong, and then there's a consequence for what they do that's wrong. And there's value in that, right? There's value in teaching my kids that they can't go up and hit their sibling,
right?
Like, they can't do that. That's unacceptable. I have to teach them, you know, that's not okay. And so, you know, sometimes I'll teach them with a consequence. But the other way they'll do it is that I thank them or appreciate them for caring for their little brother. Like, Cora's aggressive and feisty, and I love her, but she's got such a heart for her brother. And when she stops and helps her brother, especially unprompted, that's something I want to celebrate with her. And she can't read yet, so I don't write her a thank you note. But like, but that's something that I'll appreciate in her and tell her, Cora, I'm really proud that you did this, because I want to see more of that behavior and less of the fighting behavior. And so what I do is I appreciate the behavior that I want to see. That's recognized behavior gets repeated.
Yeah. So, and this works for your kids, for your spouse, mm-hmm. and for the people that you work with.
Absolutely.
Talk a little bit about that. So we live in the church world, right? Mm-hmm. And my son will say, Mom, that sounds really good because you work at a church, about something I'll bring up. But he'll say, but the reality is I don't work in a church. Is this a concept that can go wherever I am?
Well, you're asking the wrong person. We should probably have your son on and ask him. But the one thing I would say is that when we look at this spirit of thankfulness, it's something that Jesus taught. And so if Jesus taught it and embodied it, then there must be something to it because Jesus understands how we work as humans better than we understand. And so one example of that is the story of the 10 lepers, right? The story of the 10 lepers. So there's these 10 lepers, and they're all healed of leprosy. And leprosy is kind of the disease of exclusion. It's kind of like COVID was for a little bit. If you have it, stay away from me, unclean, unclean, right?
Yeah.
If you ever coughed in a grocery store during COVID and the person ran away from you, you kind of have an idea of what leprosy feels like.
For sure.
But your family wouldn't even be around you. So everyone is isolated from you if you have leprosy. And so when Jesus heals these people, it's a really big deal. And so in the story, though, only one of them comes back to say thank you to Jesus. And it's really easy for us to judge, right? Why didn't he thank? Why didn't he embody that thankfulness? Jesus just healed him. Why didn't he come back? But the thing we miss, I think, in the story, and it's really not in the story, is what was going on in the other people's lives. What were they worried about? Were they worried about, will my spouse still love me? Did my spouse get remarried? Will my kids recognize me? Will I be able to get a job? Will I be able to find clothes? What will the priest think of me? Like, we don't put into the story the other things they're worried about. And so I think for us, the reason why we're not thankful isn't because there's not anything to be thankful for. There's things to be thankful for. We're just worrying about everything else. And I think we see Jesus teaching that spirit of thankfulness so well. And I think one of the reasons he teaches it is because the people around us need us to notice what they're doing well and thank them for it. And so the real question for you isn't, do you have something to be thankful for, but are you noticing it and being thankful when you have so much else to worry about?
Yeah, Joshua and Caitlin, my son and daughter-in-law, I just went camping with them last weekend, and I did something for my grandson, and they were like, Walker, thank Grandma. And he was on to the next thing, and they went, stop, look at Grandma, and say thank you. And I felt bad for him. I was like, oh, he's really excited what he's on to now. But they had to say it two or three times. And that kind of resonated with me of, man, what are the times that I blow through something rather than stopping, looking at that person and seeing them and saying thank you. And it goes a long way.
Yeah, and we can expect our kids in their everyday life to be thankful for when somebody does something for us. But are we, right? But are we?
Right.
Are we thankful? And again, that's why I think this goes beyond the church world, because Jesus has wired other people to respond to thankfulness. He's wired it into them. Whether they know that Jesus wired it into them or not, it doesn't matter. And so when you thank people for something they did, you are doing something for them that they are wired to need and they are wired to want. And so I think that's why this really crosses, this idea of thankfulness and thanking people really crosses all boundaries. It's good. It's good for us in the church world to thank each other, to thank people in staff meetings, to thank our volunteers and lay leaders. That's really good, but it's also good for you wherever you are in your life to thank people, because Jesus has wired people to do that.
Okay, so if he's wired us to do it and we crave it, then does it truly change a culture when it's happening?
Yeah, I think so, because I think positivity can change a culture. So I think, like, if you're in a negative culture at work or even in your family or with your friends, right, just a little bit of positivity can be very contagious. And I don't think you can expect that anybody's going to give it back to you right away, but I think it can make small changes within culture because people have been wired to crave that and want that.
I have a neighbor, and he just had a baby, and he is fantastic on snowy days. He and I share a large part of this walkway. So I'm at the end and he's at the end, but we face different ways. And when there's a snowstorm, he will go out there and plow it.
Mm-hmm.
but he just had a baby. Okay. So when it snowed this past winter, I took care of the longer stretch because I know they're probably up all night and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And each time in this group text with another neighbor, he would recognize that either I or the other neighbor had done it and be like, thank you so much. And it did. It went a long way. I mean, I don't need it, but it helped me feel valued and honestly made me want to do it again. Like, hey, it's helping you and I want to help you.
Yeah.
And I want to build that relationship with you and encourage you and your family. And I know you're tired, right? But I'm not going to say all that to him.
Yeah.
But we get to know that we hit the mark too. And to continue that behavior, like it matters.
It does. Absolutely. And I think that's what we get a model for. The people around us. And if we want to see something happen again, whether it be in our kids, our coworker, the people we lead at work, the people volunteers we lead, that recognized behavior goes a long way.
Okay, so my neighbor texts me and thanks me for snow blowing, and that makes me feel good. And you and your wife give me a bottle of wine and a note, and that makes me feel good. But I've affirmed you. And it's hard for you to receive sometimes those affirmations. Why is that? And what do we do when we recognize a behavior and the person seems to kind of blow it off or it doesn't seem to make an impact?
So I think, and this is kind of a little Gary Smalley and love languages stuff. So that was a book that he wrote. It's like 30 years old maybe, but it's good stuff. But it goes back that we don't all receive the same thing the same way.
Correct.
And so I think sometimes like when you're affirmed, when you're thanked, it's a really big deal to you. And so you assume that when you're thanking me, that I'm going to receive it the same way. And a lot of times we do this weird thing. We say, well, and if he's not receiving it the way that I would, then I'm not doing it well.
Right.
Right? Or something like that. It all comes back to us. But the reality of it, it's just how we're wired. So I'm naturally not good at writing thank yous. I'm not good at saying thank you. I'm not good at receiving thank you. And that just has to do with my wiring, that there's different ways that I feel valued and appreciated. And so I think, though, the thing that's important to understand is just because we don't receive it, that they don't receive it the same way we would, doesn't mean it's not valuable. Like, being affirmed does mean something to me. It just doesn't affect me the same way that it does you. And so I think we have to understand, as a leader, we're not doing something. We're not affirming someone to get the recognition back.
Right.
We're doing it because it's the right and good and positive thing to do, and that we're secure in who God has made us. So the reason I can be thankful isn't because I'm wired to be thankful, but because God loves me and he's given me everything I can. And because of that, I try to take care of the people to my left and my right.
And truth be told, we're not even doing it so that the behavior gets repeated.
Yeah.
It's not a manipulative thing either.
No.
But it actually changes our attitude of looking out beyond ourselves, because every week you're going to ask us the same question and you wait until we answer it.
Yeah, and absolutely. And it gets you as staff members to look around and be like, oh, I've got something this week, right? And it makes you look around and see who's doing a good job around you, what positives are around you, because it's really easy for us to live in a negative place in our lives. But we've got a lot to be thankful for if we just stop and look.
Yeah, really true. I almost wonder if we should change it to recognize behavior or changes my attitude, right?
Yeah, we could. It doesn't sound quite as nice, but, and it's not as, like, I think the value of it is we're asking you to be a part, as staff members, we're asking you to be a part of a mission. As volunteers, we're asking you to be a part of a mission, to move this mission forward. And I think probably you're listening to this podcast in one way, shape, or form because you know that God is a big mission and you want to be a part of it. And so I think the value of recognized behavior gets repeated is that it invites us into leadership to make a difference in someone's life.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage you to do that. But understand that as you're leading, you don't stay unchanged either.
And doesn't this world need that? You know, as you were talking, I was thinking about a local TV station. And right now, the news is not good, fun, worth listening to times, right?
Yeah.
But they do this thing where they recognize somebody locally who's doing something really special for their community and outstanding, and they do this whole surprise to them, and it's really a cool thing. And they're looking at the positive, and they're recognizing in the middle of all this bad, they're taking a minute to recognize somebody who's really changing lives. And it's like a breath of fresh air, right?
Yeah.
In a world that we do tend to be a little more negative.
Yeah, and I think that's sometimes there's value in really simple things. And I think that's the power of recognized behavior gets repeated. It's really simple. It's got a mission to it. And it's something you can remember and do. It's a simple thing every day to help you build a positive attitude and build a positive attitude with the people around you.
Okay, so if I'm a leader and I'm listening to this, I'm like, this is so nice. We should go to work and give nice notes, and we should, and I'm not making fun of it.
No.
But again, what I hear you saying is it's making sure that we see the people around us, that we value them. It's an example that Jesus gave, and it can really be impactful for the people around us and for our own mindset, right?
Yeah, and I would say I think one of the hurdles we have to get over, quite frankly, is that we want these simple lines, recognize behavior gets repeated. We want to do it a few times, and then just boom, we have culture change. Culture doesn't change that easily.
No.
And so I think the reality of it is we have to focus more on what's the little things that I can do repeatedly over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 years. Versus what's the big thing that I can do to make a big splash. And I think this is just one of those really simple things that over the next month, probably you won't see any difference. Over the next year, you might see a little difference. Over 5 years, I think you will see a change begin to happen with the people around you. And so it's that everyday faithfulness in the same direction. That's what we're embodying here.
Yeah, I like that. Everyday faithfulness in the same direction. I like what you said also. Culture, changing culture is not fast.
Mm.
I once heard it explained, changing culture isn't like a jet ski turning a corner, right? Going the opposite way.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a ship. Yeah. That's got to make this big, wide, very,
yeah,
not very fast turn.
Yeah.
And that is what culture is. And I've seen that on our staff, whereas staff meeting isn't so much, hey, I've got you here for the hour and this is my to-do list. But we're actually in that time where you ask what we've, you know, recognized behavior gets repeated, who do you want to thank this week, is how you say it. That staff has been thanking staff.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really big deal because these are the people that I only get around this table once a week.
Yeah.
But now we're slowing down and we're seeing each other also, not just the volunteers and other people. So I think that's where I've seen that our culture change is there's a higher value of Nicole Wickstrom is on staff. She just does a great job being our creative, and she's done a great job redoing our website. And I've had the opportunity, and you have, to thank her and to recognize her in staff. And it's not that she needs that, but we do want to be able to say thank you for a hard work that is above and beyond, and the love and the care that you put into all this. And it makes a difference.
And you said something that I actually disagree with. You said that she doesn't need that. I think God has wired us to know that our work matters.
Yeah, right.
Right? And I know what you meant with it. So, but I think God has wired us to know that when you go to work in the morning, it actually means something. When you're parenting, it actually means something. And so what we do is we help people be who Jesus has created them to be when we thank them, when we recognize that, yes, what you're doing makes a difference. God has wired you to want your work to make a difference. By thanking people, we affirm what God has created good in them.
Yeah, well said. Well said. All right, so one last thing, and I don't want to leave us here, but I definitely want to touch on. So in the workplace, we're very cautious to be appropriate also with our words. So you're married, but you do affirm me and you do recognize that behavior. How do we do that and keep good, healthy boundaries and not cross those? Or do we recognize people of the opposite sex?
Right. So, I mean, a few things. I think if you're worried about it, have your spouse read the thank you note before you give it to them.
Yeah.
Right. Excellent. That might be a good one. Do it in public or at least with an open door.
Yeah.
Right. I think, and I think those are good boundaries. And then just start out with a little simpler than more complex. So like, don't go deep until it, like, if this is awkward for you, don't go deep with it. Just say it blunt. Like, I really appreciate that you're always on time. That's a really simple thank you. That I appreciate that you're always on time. Share that with one of your coworkers.
You're definitely not saying that to me.
No.
But yeah,
I appreciate that you're always doing something, Donna. Like, that's usually why you're not on time. You always have something going.
Awesome.
But yeah, so I think just, you know, that do it in public. When you're writing it, ask your spouse to look at it or ask somebody else that you trust to look at it. I think those are good things to do.
Yeah, like when I use the example of your Christmas gift, you make it very clear that's from you and Sarah.
Yeah.
And you even sign the note from you and
Sarah.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
And I think that's huge. And I don't want to camp on here too long, but I do know sometimes I think we hold back because we don't want it to be misconstrued. So it's a good thing just to ask and to know that there are ways that we can do it that can stay within good, healthy boundaries.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Keep the relationship good.
Absolutely.
Good. All right. So as you have recognized behavior, what's been the biggest, I don't know, lesson that you've learned from it all?
Just that it does make a difference. I don't think it was natural to me to thank people. I don't think I did it in my other role very much at all. It just didn't, yeah, it didn't mean something to me. But I think it's the understanding that different people need different forms of appreciation and then doing it. Because recognized behavior gets repeated.
Yeah. So we want to lay out a challenge today. Look around you and who are just two people? And it can be in your family. Mm-hmm. It can be in your workplace, wherever. And maybe challenge yourself to reach out to them and to thank them today.
Yeah.
So, Pastor, I want to thank you for your time.
And so you got one down now.
I got one. I'm going to get the other. And I want to thank you for
listening.
Oh,
that's cheating.
And we look forward to talking with you on our next podcast.